God with a six-figure devil's hand. Blood money's the only money there really is. Whether you bang on the block or four rooms for billions, it's a spectacular terrorist event. Nuclear the medicine man. Back at God with a six-figure devil's hand. Blood money's the only money there really is. Whether you bang on the block or four rooms for billions.
Hey Nico, how are you?
Oh, I'm well. How are you, Nico? Mitch.
Yeah. One Nico to another.
There you go.
Yeah, man. So how's life? How are you finding it?
Look, it's good. It's beautiful. It's interesting. It's a great journey, you know? It's different when you have a connection to the spirit world than when you don't.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. I love that stuff.
Much more substance in your life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's... Do you know what? It's weird because that's something that's missing in so many people's life.
Yeah. You know? And you know what? When it's missing, that's when we have all the grief and heartaches and problems and confusion and fear and pain and all that is just coming to the surface because there's no real connection to remind us that we're more than just a body, we're a soul living this life. You know, so it's a big difference. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's the whole materialism thing. Obviously, you know, the big religions have had a massive part of that. It's strange because you'd thought like it's been diluted in a sense because these religions talk about a spiritual, you know, sort of like reality of it. But it's just like you're not really admitted there until you die, essentially, you know. So it's so strange.
You know, religion teaches certain things with limitations. You know, it's like they don't really delve on the soul. They don't really delve on the spirit world. And that's exactly what you're saying. They let you figure that out when you're on your last breath and you're reconnecting again to that source of, you know, where the souls are, where the spirits are, you know. And it's not true. I mean, even if you come across somebody that does evidential mediumship, and they're able to connect with the essence of a spirit of a loved one, somebody that passed away that you want to speak to, you want to just have the understanding that they're still around, they're still okay, and people are suffering through traumatic grief. It's a joy to be able to bring that essence of that spirit to this person so they understand that they're still around. You know, yeah. I mean, in the religion I grew up with, Greek Orthodox religion, their belief is that everybody dies and their soul stays here on earth until Jesus comes again and walks the earth, then they're all risen and taken to heaven. And even that is there's no way I could believe that. I communicate with spirits every day, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, there's no way that's true. But I think because we don't have any really guideline and we're taught what the religion we're born into, we kind of go with that. And then everybody just forgets that there's so much more to life, and they just get so stuck in their everyday world and their bills, and they're running around in chaos, and they argue with each other, and there's wars, and everything's just so crazy that they forget the beauty of being a soul living a life, and that's sad.
Yeah, do you know what? Nowhere does that more than Twitter. Jesus, man, Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
That place will traumatize you for breakfast, man. Honestly, it's so bad.
But you know what? The good thing is that this timing right now, the entire planet is undergoing a huge spiritual awakening process. I'm sure you've come across people that you've known and didn't expect it, or you run into people and everybody seems to have an interest in the spirit world. They all say they've been to a medium. They do tarot card readings. They go to psychics. This is going on more and more and more. Ask yourself, why is that happening? You know, I mean, it's time. It's time that the spirit world is stepping in. Like, guys, you know what? We have to start waking you up over here. You have to start paying attention that we do exist and this planet's going to change. You know, and then if you really want to go philosophical and conspiracy theorist almost, you know, look at the planet. Look how it's changing. Look at all the problems. Look at everything that's happening. People are afraid to live on this planet. But the changes, what's happening, and Spirit has said this on numerous times through transmediumship, is that the planet is undergoing its own changes in order to bring closer and to sustain higher vibrational frequencies, like aliens and higher sources and ascended masters in all the spirit form. So who are they going to come and talk to? if we're not awakened, you know? So yeah. Mark my words, over the next 10 years, you're going to see a huge shift of awareness, and people are going to start looking into the spirit world and just the curiosity and want to know more about it. Watch, it'll definitely happen. No doubt about it. And that's going to be a good thing for everybody.
Do you know what? That is interesting that you say that, because it's almost, I don't want to get too conspiratorial, because this is, you know, we do enough of that. And this, the stuff that you do is really interesting, but it's interesting me to time in, because as you say, we are going through this awakening. Yeah. You can see it.
Yeah.
And Agenda 2030. I mean, that sounds like perfect time, you know, to sort of like get us all corralled into these smart cities and stuff. And I have that, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that the Wi-Fi, the EMFs and stuff like that does, because I heard people talking about it, about not being able to astral project and stuff like that as well as they could if they were, you know, living in the middle of a forest or whatever, you know what I mean? So yeah, that is super interesting, man. But let's say, you mentioned aliens, right? And when I was reading the bio, it jumped out at me straight away. And this was something when you were between 5 and 6.
Yeah, and yeah.
I mean, I don't want to ruin it for anyone. Go into that a little bit, because that is nuts.
You know, it's those weren't aliens. Speaking about aliens, I have, through trans mediumship, I have brought through an alien energy, and this energy has spoken about life on a different planet. But you know what? Before we go to the experience that I had when I was younger, let me ask you this question. How far-fetched is it, right, to kind of grab this concept, okay? We are a soul in this body that you're living right now, okay? Your auric field is outside your soul. It's like, you know, outside your body, like your soul's too big for your body. So it's like your energetic shield all around your body. Everybody has that, right? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that the main part of your soul is still existing in the spirit world. They refer to this as your higher self, okay? Yeah. So what's to say if only a portion of your soul is coming into this physical life and this physical world and this physical body, what's to say simultaneously you're not living another life in a different dimension? You don't know about it because your mind, the physical mind, can't hold all that information. It'll just bust. And also, you won't live your life knowing that you're living somewhere else and your soul is part of another dimension or another planet or whatever the case is. But this is a reality, because it's not really far-fetched if you understand that part of your soul is in this life only, not your full essence of your soul.
That jogs my memory for something, and it makes a lot of sense, because you hear some people, not everyone, but some people that do DMT and psychedelics, and they come back, they're like, motherfucker, I had like a wife and kids, like I had a whole separate, yes, life, just lived a whole life, you know?
Absolutely,
I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, the awareness brings you to past life memories and all this, and it's so deep when you really start understanding this. And I also believe that before I even connected with the spirit world, there's no way I believed in any of this stuff. I was just living my life. I was going along fine, paying my bills, struggling, whatever, like everybody else. So, you know, difficult relationships. Everybody's living the same life. But when I started understanding and connecting to the spirit world, a lot of this made sense. And I also believe that a lot of this is your soul remembering on a deeper level. And it's kind of coming slowly to your subconscious. And you're like kind of grabbing it. Like, what am I thinking? Why am I thinking this? And if you just stay with it and trust it, a lot more starts getting revealed to you. It's really amazing. It's amazing.
I think about that sometimes, man. I'm like, I wish I was that spiritually inclined, man. But
everybody is, my man. Everybody is. It's just a matter of switching your awareness. Just, you know, it's a subtle thing. It's like, you know, even the signs we receive every day in the world, there's like so many different things. You're at the window and looking out the window and smoking a cigarette or whatever, like a butterfly or a bird lands right at your window looking at you, talking to you, whatever the case is. That doesn't happen all the time. If you're sitting somewhere with your friends and maybe a butterfly lands on your hand, or just something really rare happens. You might see orbs or figures or faces in the sky and the clouds. I mean, all these are subtle signs that are constantly given to us. And more so, they're given from a spirit who just passed to their loved ones who are grieving. Mm-hmm. See, this is always, they're always communicating with us. It's just a matter of paying attention to the subtleties. And that's how you feel the energy of spirit, by paying attention to the subtleness of that energy. Like, in other words, if I was to walk behind you and try to sneak up on you, you would turn around because you sense me. Because my energetic field is brushing against yours, even though I haven't touched you yet. You know, my spiritual essence, my energy is brushing against yours, and it makes you turn around. Same thing with the spirit world. When they come close to you, you feel that. And as our human brains work, we see it as we notice it as a sensation. Maybe you might get, you know, the hairs on your neck standing up. You might get chills. You might get heat, cold, whatever, a pressure on your face. That's just our awareness. Like, what is that? You know, what am I feeling? And that's how you connect with them. So everybody who was born with the five senses is able to connect with spirit. Everybody. So you could do it too.
It's really interesting you just brought that up about the subtle signs, because this is, pardon me, I haven't told anybody this. In the start of 2023, before I started the podcast and everything, I was in a really dark place, right? And I was driving home and I was like, I was just contemplating life. I was just like, you know, what the fuck I'm going to do? And excuse me.
Okay. And
this is God's honest truth, like God or whatever, but I was just like, I was just thinking like, what do I do with my life? And as I was driving down this country road, a red kite, which is a predatory bird, it's a bird of prey. It had a rabbit in its talons.
Yeah.
And it flew just above my windscreen.
Yeah.
And I took that as a sign.
Yeah, it's a sign.
Yeah, I saw it as, you can either be that rabbit,
yeah,
or you can be that fucking bird.
Yeah. Now, and you said the key thing here. You were going through a tough time, right? So every time we feel we're at our lowest, it's not a coincidence that we always have that connection to the spirit world. Always. So right now, when you come into this life, surrounding you is your spirit team, they call it, spirit guides. They're attached to you from birth, you know. Certain ones stay for the duration of your life. Others come and go. Maybe your grandfather pops in for a few years to help you out with whatever the case is. These spirit guides that are near you, these are the ones that alert you. Like when you're going to walk into an area and you just start feeling like, this isn't safe. You get the goosebumps or the chills up your neck. That's your spirit team alerting you, like, hey, keep an eye over here. Pay attention. This isn't good for you. When somebody walks up to you and you just feel this negative energy from that person and you understand they have bad intentions, again, your spirit team is working with you. So spirits are always working with us. Because think about it. If you're a spirit too, if you're a soul too, how could you come into this crazy world without any protection and any assistance from like-minded souls? You can't. You'd lose yourself, right? You'd lose yourself. So that's why you yourself, your soul, has chosen them, has selected them to be with you on this journey. So they have a very, very tight bond with you. And maybe in another life, you were their spirit guide and they lived the journey in the physical world. So you don't know what it is because, again, our minds are not understanding this. But the more you switch your awareness to that world and feel the spirits, these start coming back to you, the memories, the knowledge, you know, they kind of explain this to you in dreams or words or whatever the case is. And it starts making sense. When you piece the puzzle together, you're like, oh, that's what that's about. And it starts making a lot more sense to you.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like the whole idea of having these spirit guides is like.
Of course,
like,
man.
You take turns as like a human. Yeah. Like one day you're a human. You're a spirit guide or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, come on. A lot of people in this world, your family, let's say, okay, more than not, your family, your immediate family, parents, siblings, whatever, they call them soul families. Like you guys kind of, you know, re-enter each other's lives from different past lives. You re-enter. Maybe you're the son, but you were the father in another life or the mother or whatever the case is. There's no sex change. It doesn't matter. The soul has no sex. So you could be whatever sex in a physical life you want. Or you need to do in order to learn something for your spirit, for your spiritual growth, your soul's growth. So even you feel a certain bond to your family. Even if they get on your nerve, you still feel like a sense of home with them. Even certain friends you made. You might have a friend that you made in the last 5 years that you're tighter with than a friend you made when you were in first grade. It just kind of, you resonate to that soul because they always interchange in your life somehow. They come in for a reason at a certain time. They stay similar to the spirit guides, but just in physical form. But they too are souls, you see? So this is a whole way of thinking once you start connecting with them. And it's amazing because it gives a lot more meaning to life and what we're doing here. And it's not just black and white the way we see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different reality, you know?
Yeah, it gets rid of that. A lot of people, myself included, I'm trying to get out of it. It's just obsessed with money.
Because we think we need that to live, and we focus everything on that in order because we think money's going to give us a better life. And you know, and you always hear it. You know, you don't take it with you. You know, when you die, all the monetary and material assets stay here. It's not about that. You know, I mean, I did chase that life in New York, and I was a successful contractor, and I had money and what have you. But I was never happy. You know, it's like when I finally started blending and connecting with the spirit world, then I found my true happiness. Then I changed as a person, you know, and that's what this journey is about. We're souls. It's about that. You know, I don't want to sound so like preachy, but it's not like I'm not pushing the Bible here in any kind of religion. I'm just kind of reminding people that you're a soul in the physical body, not the other way around. You know, it's more important because at the end of the day, we're going to die. You know, I mean, look. Yeah. When babies come into the world, if you watch them and they can't speak yet, they're looking around the room, they see spirits. And they're all full of love and laughter. Okay, and then when the people are on their deathbed, they also see spirits. Yeah. And that's when they're forgiving and they're loving and they apologize for the life they led. So how come in the beginning and the end, we're so connected to the spirit world that we remember we're a soul, and in the middle we screw it all up?
Yeah. Yeah, why is that? That's absolutely.
Because we get so caught up in our life. We chase money. We chase happiness. We chase relationships. We think the materialistic and the physical world bring us happiness. So imagine right now if people midway through their life's journey, they connect to the spirit world. And imagine at that point, they kind of change the outcome of the rest of their life. And who's to say being connected spiritually cannot give you your money? Your finances cannot bless you that way. Because think about it. If you're doing something like you're doing right now, this beautiful podcast, and you start bringing in spiritual part and your spirit team, and you're talking about, you know, the evidence of the spirit world after, even more will listen, especially during this awakening that's happening. See? And then if you charge money for it, now you're getting the money you're looking for. So it definitely goes hand in hand. It's just where you're directing your energy to get that money.
Yeah. How do you, like, you mentioned the spirit team and you mentioned that they're with you all the time.
Yeah.
How do you activate your relationship? Like, I know that relationship's always been there, but how do I or anyone else that's listening, how do we get in touch with them and sort of like kickstart it?
Okay, that's a good spot to tell you about the past now, okay? So, when I was younger, I used to feel energy. I used to feel people around me, spirits around me, but I didn't know who it was. So of course, as an over imaginative kid, I would make up, you know, friends, imaginary friends, and I speak to them. My parents thought it was cute and they let me go. One day I was playing in my room with my imaginary friends, who obviously must have been a spirit that I was feeling, and I didn't understand the difference. And this big ball of light, it started off small and it was coming even larger through the window. Like if you look at The Wizard of Oz, right? Glinda, the good witch, when her little bubble appeared from a distance and then came really, really big in front of Dorothy. That's what that was like. A little bubble just came bigger through the windshield, through the window, and three spirits appeared just right there in form. And I was just in shock. And they were like kind of speaking to me. And I felt an amazing feeling of love and this energy all around my body. And I felt it was safe, and they were speaking and they were smiling and they were just saying that they love me and they're with me and whatever the case is. So then at one point I got scared. I called for my mom. She comes into the room. They haven't left yet. And I'm pointing to the window. I'm pointing to them and she doesn't see anything. So I'm like really bugging out. Like, what's going on here? Then they finally took off and they went back out of the bubble. They came in and it became smaller and left through the window. From that point on, I always sensed them around with that energy. and it just became stronger, you know. It, and again, if I was in a dangerous situation, if I felt alone, if I was hurt, if somebody broke my heart, if I lost a job, if I was suffering financially, I always felt that pressure, that energy near me, always. So then my cousin passed away. We were 19. We were in a car accident. He was driving. Somebody hit us. Make a long story short, a year after his passing, anywhere I was, I would get these signs. Like I was hanging out with my friends, and if we're walking in New York, and New York has a lot of streetlights, as we were passing under one streetlight, the light would go out. As soon as we passed, it turned back on again. And that would go on for like 10 lights in a row. You know, so things like that happened. Or I would hear my name being whispered from, you know, I thought it was in the next room, but it was right next to my ear. I would see visions of him in my dream and in real life. So after a while, I just knew that it was him. And every time something like that would happen, I would feel that energy. So one day I was walking through a park alone on my way home, and I literally heard him like he was right next to me. And he was saying something about to focus on what I feel, to focus on that energy. He referred to it as like, that's your ticket. Like focus, that's like that. He meant that's your way to understanding your spirit team and our world. But, you know, living in New York and just all that chaos and, you know, drugs, liquor, friends at that time, I was younger. I just kind of put it on the shelf, you know, because you couldn't mix that feeling with hanging out with your buddies. So I put it on the shelf and I let it go for years, because in that process, I also got stuck in the whole physical world and working and investing and building houses as a contractor and just, you know, having a family. Just it got crazy for me until I just couldn't take it anymore. I kept hiding the fact that something was missing inside of me. I was acting like I was happy, and I was never really that happy. So I moved to a Greek island that my father and grandfather originated from. And that's when I was able to kind of really focus on that energy. It came stronger and stronger and stronger. And then through that, I was able to understand my guides. I was able to effectively work through evidential mediumship. I started out of my curiosity. I was taking tarot cards, psychic readings, Reiki master, angel healing therapy. I did all of those because my mind saw it as interesting. It wasn't until I started working with evidential mediumship that I was connecting to the spirit world, and that was blowing my mind, but it was accurate. But then all of that doesn't hold a candle to trance mediumship. Somebody had said to me, since you have a strong feel for that energy of spirit, their essence, when they come near you, maybe you should look into trance. And that's that is the purest form of communicating with the spirit world, because you really are allowing their energy to come into your energy. It's like you're kind of like working the knob on the radio station to kind of get the right frequencies of them. So the music plays, that's what this is like. Your energy is erratic and going nuts all the time, where this is a lot more smoother. Like this is a jazz song and yours is classic rock or something, or hard rock,
some drum and bass or something.
Exactly. You try to blend the two, and there's no way if your mind is in it, and that's where it's a lot of feeling, you know? So I would recommend for you, you know, sit, and everybody else, actually, I do this, I actually teach this on every Wednesday in a trans development circle, where just set aside 30 minutes, you know, and no disturbances, and just kind of like settle your mind. Settle the thinking of your mind and slow your heart rate by your breath. And then just kind of like you kind of get into a meditative state, but you want to go even deeper. And that's when you ask your spirit team to come close. And they will. They will. If you ask them, they will. And then you start feeling that subtle change where the energy comes near you. Like if I was to walk up behind you and you're alerted, you'd feel that. And then certain sensations may occur for you. Focus on that sensation, and it's becoming even stronger, and you're feeling this. And then trust what you go with. If you see a vision, trust it. It's not your mind. Trust it's them. If you hear some words, trust it. If they're telepathically giving you messages in your mind and you have all these words, trust it. And that's how you start understanding and connecting with them. And it's incredible. Because once you could do that, then you could easily sit with somebody who lost a loved one and connect to that spirit that they lost, and then they come closer to you and you feel their essence. And it's just, it's incredible, man. It's incredible. It changes you.
Is that like just trying to compare it to something that, you know, other people would know in the cultural zeitgeist. Is that like a positive form? Not that Ouija boards are negative, but is that like is that similar?
Yeah. So this is how I perceive all this. In the spirit world, there's no negative energies. None. They're all beautiful souls, and I've come across so many between evidential and trance that they're all beautiful souls. There's no negative energy to be afraid of. When somebody's doing the Ouija board and they probably have had a few to drink, right? What they're doing is, by drinking, they've lowered their vibrational frequency. And they're working the Ouija board and they know what they're doing and they're having a party, having a good time. Also, in the spirit world, there's levels. Okay, let's say Hitler. Let's say Hitler was on a higher level. He came in, for a different path, a different, plan to his life. And he has free will. We all have free will. So he detoured and went and did what he did. My awareness is that when he went back to the spirit world, he dropped a few levels because of that. So, he has to go back now and relive lives to go back up the ladder again, if you want to say. People do wonderful things in their life and they really work from their heart and they're loving and they're giving and they're forgiving and compassionate. By me doing this in this life, I'm helping my higher self accelerate those levels. That's how I understand all this. So when people play with the Ouija board and they know what they're doing and they drink or whatever the case is, what they're attracting are those spirits that have dropped to lower levels.
Oh, shit, yeah.
See, they're not bad spirits, but, they're not, maybe they're bitter, maybe they're upset, maybe they drop, maybe whatever the case is, and they kind of come across and they want to scare them or they say these things to them and they freak them out. And people get a real bad impression, a bad taste of the spirit world. But now take the other way around. You have five mediums who connect to higher level spirits and they work the Ouija board. It's a whole totally different experience. You can feel the essence of spirit is powerful, is loving, it's intense. You see, same Ouija board, different people, different awarenesses, it changes the outcome and who you attract.
Yeah, that makes sense as well, because if you think about most people that are going to do the Ouija board, their mind is going to be mostly like on shit, this is going to be demonic.
Yeah, so, of course.
You know what I mean? That, of course. Their frequency is already lowered.
Right.
By that sort of like that mindset, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, light attracts light. So the more you open up your auric field, the more your intentions are, I want to connect with the spirit world for my heart and my love. Of course, you're going to bring higher level beings to connect with you. It always happens. I mean, many times in evidential readings, I've had stepfathers come through that were inappropriate to their stepdaughter, and the stepdaughter doesn't want in front of me, and she doesn't want to hear from them. But then she does want to hear what he has to say, and they're coming in remorseful and apologetic because obviously their soul has evolved and is changing, and they just want to have that closure. Plus, they want to help her heal. I've had guys who murdered people. I've had people who were in jail, committed suicide. A lot of different people, because when they come in, they have to let me know what their life was like so you understand it's them. But I also get an opportunity to feel their energy, their essence of how they were in this life. So you understand it's them, even how they died, their personalities, whatever. But then they allow me to feel their essence as it is now. And then I'll explain that. And it's so healing to the person in front of you because a lot of matters that are unresolved, things they wanted to say, and then the beauty of it is that he says, I do trans mediumship, I do trans evidential. So once the connection is made and the message is passed, most of the time that spirit wants to come and speak through me to their loved one. And that's when the tears come and that's when the emotion is there and that's where the power is. So, it's great to be of service. I'm like, I'm in the middle of both worlds, I'm servicing both worlds. And at the same time, what I benefit out of this is I have a beautiful relationship with my spirit team and the spirit world. And I feel the love there that once you feel that, even when you connect to the spirit team and you feel that love, you cannot duplicate that in this life. You'll never feel that love here as much as you try. It's a whole different level. It's thousands percent more intense. And it's incredible.
Jeez.
And it heals you. Yeah, yeah, and it heals your heart. It heals who you are. It makes you more confident. You're not as afraid. You don't really, you know, fear anything, and you don't let people affect you that you're sad. Because I view them now as other souls living their journey. So what would they say affect me? You see?
Yeah.
And this is how your life gets better and it's more powerful.
Do you know what? That's something that I need, because I'm like, I try my best. So when I'm driving to work, I like let people out like of the road and shit. It's not much, but like it's just what I try to do. But then if I let one of them out, and then they don't say thanks, I'm like, you fucking, and it'll set me off, and I'll get angry and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be angry, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you snowball, and then you're angry all day. And it's like, I just want to be at a point where I'm just like, I'm just fucking happy all the time. I know it's a balance, it's duality.
But it is a balance, but you tend to kind of see the good in everything after you deal with the spirit world for so much. I was the same as you. Somebody cut me off, I would chase them and I wanted to kill them. Road rage, you know. Somebody gave me the finger, I chased them like 2 miles, cursing them out, pulled them over. Like, what did I accomplish? I just yelled at them. So what? You know, I scared the crap out of them, and they apologized, and I felt bad afterwards. But that's not. I was the same way. I would get triggered really quick, and just that because we become a product of our environment. You know, we become too physical, and we're too much in this world, and a lot of shit is in this world, and it affects you. That's why. I really believe that a lot of people in this world over the next few years are going to really start connecting, because we need it, man. We need it as a race. We need it as our souls. We need it. And that's why the spirit world is coming in so prominently throughout. And there's a lot of people that are popping up everywhere. Like, they want to be a medium and learn how to connect. And it's really powerful. It's really amazing. I could definitely help you. You come and join my Wednesday circle. I'll help you out. We could do one-on-ones. Man. I'd love to.
Oh man, I'd love to. What time do you? I mean, obviously we can speak about this after, but
Wednesdays.
What time do you do it?
Wednesdays are 6 p.m. UK time.
I might make that work.
Yeah, why not?
why not? You know what I mean? It's for my spirit in it. So
And I'm gonna definitely offer you. I offer 1-to-1, 75 minutes, 1 hour to 90 minute trance session. Where I go into trance and it's just you and my spirit team, and you speak to them and ask questions and have a 1-to-1 nice bond with them. So I'm going to offer you that whenever you want.
Yeah, mate, that's insane. I would love that, man.
Absolutely. I could do it right now, right here, but you know, it's probably, we don't have enough time. And also, I'd like to see you on the video. So we'll do that 1-on-1 another time.
Yeah, man, 100%. Here's a question that I wanted to ask you, right? So when it comes to like spirituality, how much, because I love this personally, like astrology, so like the zodiacs and when it comes to, especially like for what you say about like the spirits and, you know, the sort of like, I don't know if you would call it reincarnation, but there's this idea that reincarnation has something to do with the moon and Saturn. And they're like sort of linked in a way of like this soul recycling. Is that something you've heard of?
No, I haven't heard that, but I think that, you know, reincarnation in different lives is also, it's what your soul still needs to grow, you know? And also, I also believe that sometimes people come into this life that, you know, just have a really beautiful connection and they die young, and you wonder why they die young, the great people. I also believe that that person came into their life maybe to help you and maybe have one lesson to learn or two lessons to learn. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that, again, the soul family and the soul connections we all have with each other, it all depends on what's needed for each soul and how do we all work together. Like, you know, the way I see it, there's no time there. We have the linear time concept. They don't. So our 50 years could be a minute. In that side, you know? So the way I see it, when everybody dies and they'll go back and everybody's connected, all the spirit guides are connected, all those who live the physical life are connected, they all gather around, okay, what needs to be learned now? You know, and they plan it out that way. Okay, we're going to go into this life at that time, we're going to do this and this and this and this. You're going to go ahead earlier, we're going to be your child. And it's this whole huge, you know, detailed event that they sit there and they formulate. And that's how I think it is. You know, I could be totally wrong, but that's my concept of it. And it's also, you know, you might maybe there's a lot to learn on that side as well. Because like I said, these souls that come through, they're also learning on that side. Maybe I'll be a guide next life. Maybe I'm going to hop in another life as soon as I finish this one. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, but it's like your higher self knows that in that world, we know everything. You know, we're planning everything out. Here, we have limited knowledge. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to accomplish what we had accomplished. It's because it's about not knowing and learning as you're going through it. Like when we go through these difficult moments and we're alone and, you know, maybe even contemplate suicide and just say, I'm done with this life and this sucks and whatever the case is, there's a huge lesson to be learned at that particular moment. You see? And especially what happens right after that. And when you start seeing signs and you start feeling spirit, this is also a lesson that has to be learned. You know, so it's really, it's a beautiful life, man. It's a great way when you have the awareness of the spirit world, it makes life so much more meaningful and important, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? It's, I think once you, because obviously I'm not, you know, spiritually, you know, ascended or, you know, really that aware. Well, I am quite aware, but like, you know, just in terms of like the actual reality of it. But once you start seeing those signs, even for me, someone that's not really attuned, it's mental. Like you're like, shit, it's real. This shit's real. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you know, like bullshit like some people make it out to be. It's completely real.
Yes.
But like, it makes me think about dreams.
Yeah.
So we all have them. Well, most of us. And this, is it like, for you, in your opinion, is it like our soul sort of leaving, going back to source, having a little sort of like, you know, halftime, you know, huddle or whatever, and then coming back? You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Not all your soul, obviously, but again, a portion of you. And again, what I also believe here is that's when that connection to the higher self is the strongest, when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Because your soul doesn't necessarily leave your body while you're sleeping, but your higher self is kind of, you're traveling with your higher self when you're sleeping. You know, the soul is really, is activated and joined on a more powerful basis. That's why there's a lot of astral projection when you're sleeping. You have these vivid dreams. You could be in somebody's house and see what they did, and the next day tell them, how'd you know I did that? You know, that kind of stuff. You could always see your loved ones who passed away in your dreams. I hear that all the time. My father died, and 3 days later, he appeared in my dream. Yeah, because your soul is traveling and meets him again. So yeah, there's a lot of messages and signs and dreams, a lot of them. A lot of people are very much into lucid dreaming, where they try to remain conscious of their dreams.
Yeah.
So that's pretty intense. As their soul is astral projecting, astral traveling, they're conscious of it because they're lucid dreaming. That's my next hobby. I want to try to work on that a little bit, you know,
I've tried to work on that. I don't know. There's no fucking manual for it. Do you know what I mean? It's hard.
No.
But I wanted to ask you a question, actually, regarding the dreams. Because I had this dream once when I was a kid. It's one of, I don't really have any memories before like 10 or 11 for some reason. But I had this dream. For me, I know it's a dream now because the people that I was with in the dream, I asked them, do they remember it? And they said, no, that never happened. But we're walking down this path, and it was like a cross section, and there was four sections of grass, and the paths, you know, sort of cut between. And in the center point of the cross was a bin, like a trash can. And it was one of the ones that had the vertical wooden slats around, and it, you know, made up a ring, a circle. And I remember I was holding my mum's hand. I was with my cousin and he was with his mum. And we walked up to this bin. And I looked in the bin and there was a decapitated dog's head in the bin. And I thought it was real. Like my entire life I thought it was real until I asked. It was only, about 5 years ago I asked. And she was like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but that wasn't real. But is that like, how would you interpret that?
So all the symbolism in that dream, right? So what I would tell you write it all down again. The cross, the circle that formed the bin is a circle. The cross, the circle, wood, dog, and mother. Okay? Dog is a spirit animal. So you Google what the spirit animal of the dog is. That, see what that pertains to you. Wood, what does wood pertain to you? Okay? Ring, the circle. What's the circle? You being complete with the cross because it's right next to the cross. So the circle is you coming full circle back to your spiritual, your soul-like ways. Mother, safety. So right here, all this, you have spirits telling you the mother bringing safety, you're safe. The cross connecting to the spirit world, circular, you're coming back full circle, you see?
Yeah.
Dog, I don't know what the dog animal is. So this is all little symbolism that spirit's telling you, guiding you in your dreams. So when you write it all down, it sounds like something crazy in your mind. But when you break it down and you find the symbols and you Google it and check it out, there's a hidden message in there.
Yeah.
And also ask your team. You see, like, you know, when you said something about it before that, you know, you don't know if you could do it or whatever the case is. If you ask your team, I say to my spirit team when I go to bed, guys, let's go on a trip. I want to astral travel. Take me with you. I know I'm safe. Let me see what you want me to see and let's go on the road. And I'll come out of that next day like, what am I thinking about? Why am I thinking about this? I might not remember the dream, but I remember what the message of the dream was. And this is where they're helping you. And also, you could ask your loved ones who passed away, come visit me in my dream. You know, so we have free will. So it's very difficult for the spirit world to do anything without us asking them for the help to do it, to come in and do it. They will only bend that rule a slight bit when you're in danger. And they just do that by giving you the sensations to become aware of the danger you're walking into. That's the only time then they're going to stop in front of you. I mean, sometimes a car might just turn the corner and they might have you somehow drop your wallet and you bend to pick it and avoid taking the next step to get by the car. You see? But again, they're gonna help you here when it's not your time. You know, and they're gonna help by doing these little things. But other than that, they're not gonna just hop in and start giving you what you want without you asking them. They might give you all these little symbols and dreams as assisting you, teaching and being with you to show you they're with you. But if you want clear-cut definitions in those dreams and specifics, you ask them. I want to go to sleep tonight. I want you to give me a really great dream and I understand what's going to happen. Where's my future going to be? Show me my dream and ask them, and they'll do it. That's how they work with you. And it's great when you do that. Yeah.
So for people that are listening, it might seem, because like for me, like if I was listening to this, I'd be like, that sounds sick. How do I ask them? Like, do I have to perform some sort of ceremonial ritual? Do I verbalize it actually, like verbally? Do I like pray? Do I think about it? Like, how do you actually go about communicating with these guides?
You know, it's really funny. I forgot people were listening.
We're just having
a conversation. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Hello, world. Okay, so in any religion, okay, you don't see God, but people pray to God. They believe in God. And they always pray, God, please help me this. Jesus, please help me get that. They're always praying to something or someone. There's a direction to their prayer. Okay? You don't have to go that far because your spirit team is right with you. You see, they're next to you. They're with you all the time. So I recommend to everybody that's listening, really start bringing your awareness to their energy. Bring your awareness to the essence of them near you. Sit in your quiet meditative state and just ask them at that time to come closer so you could feel them, get to understand them, get to know them. The more you do that, the more you're going to be aware of them with you during your daily walks, driving, being with other friends. You'll start getting the same sensations you get when they come near you. So they tell you, hey, I'm with you. I'm walking on that job interview with you. You know, I'm going with you to tell your parents the things you don't want them to know, whatever the case is, or I'm with you to whatever. Whatever your important moments are, they're going to say, I'm with you by you feeling them. So this is how you become aware of them. So now anything you wish for, anything you want to develop, you go into your spirit team. You're asking them to help you. Because in my knowledge, it's all connected. Mm. We're all one. You see, so the way my mind works, you have God, the creator, the source, whatever you want to call it, who's a huge energetic field, okay? Mm. And then underneath that is this massive energetic field that every single soul is in.
Yeah.
And again, we're all energy. So all of our energy, our essence is in that big, huge source. So it's all connected. See? So when you speak to your guides, your spirit team, you're connected to your higher self. You're connected to them, their energy, which is all connected to God. And everyone is connected as one energy. So you're really getting everybody's help. Everybody in that big source area and God, the creator, everyone is coming through and helping you. It's just a matter of you believing it, wanting it, willing it to happen, and focusing on the subtlety of that connection. And then you can understand what I'm saying. Like, you'll start living it. Like, oh my God, this is exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so interesting. Wait. What? Yeah, carry on.
When you hear people having a near-death experience, NDEs they call it, right?
Yeah.
What happens, right? It's not, they don't like go up to a place of a cloud and heaven and angels, whatever the case is. For that split moment, their consciousness of this soul and this body gets transported back to that huge source area.
Yeah.
And they all connect with that energy. They're there. For that minute they're dead, they're there. It doesn't take that long to get back there. Once you die, you're right back there again. So they just went there, but a part of their soul still remains because their body's coming back and they zip back in again. While they're there, they can't really explain that. It's like the Matrix, you know, with Keanu Reeves, how they start seeing all the digital stuff and everything else. The way I see it, that's all energy. That's all lights. That's all digital stuff going on. How do you put that into words to another human being? So what we say is, I see a beautiful white light, I see clouds, I see angels, I see this and that. What we learned as the concept of heaven through religious teachings.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? Because I've looked into NDEs a lot, because I just find it so fascinating. And one of the things that I find so fascinating, maybe because it's, I don't know, maybe because I'm like a child and, you know, these sort of like minute, you know, mundane things, you know, they sort of like fascinate me. But it's when they come back and say, I've seen colors that don't exist here.
Like, yeah.
I can't tell you what they are or what they look like, because I have no frame of reference for it. And that, when I hear that, it fucking blows my mind. I'm like, whoa, like what are these colors?
Yeah.
It's like a whole different, like, world. And that leads me to like the next thing is, like, this place, obviously we're governed by our five senses, but this astral spirit world, like, what does it look like? Does it have, you know, a physical look, you know,
where we travel to? I don't think so, because I believe it's all energy. There's no bodies. My spirit has energy, it's not a body. I don't, to be honest with you, I'm starting to believe that even this world we live in right now, what's to say that my perception of it is exactly your perception of it? You know, what's to say? I mean, we might see the same color couch and the same size couch, but are the walls really the same? You know, is the outside the same? I mean, you really start thinking about it. Is it really, are we all seeing the same and walking the same? The same dimension in Earth, or is our soul perceiving it a different way? Just a slight different way could change the whole outcome.
Yeah.
You see?
And that's sort of like brings in the aspect. Now, I don't believe this, but a lot of people sort of like speak about the NPC theory, that there's only a certain amount of souls. Some people don't actually have souls. They're just in here for sort of like just to make up the numbers, so to speak. I don't believe that's true. No,
I don't believe that at all.
But the thought of these people, or, you know, forget about the people, but the things themselves just rendering in, as you go through life. So like it's almost like adjacent to simulation theory in a way, that you know, some things that we see are different, you know, from what it's crazy to think about. Like obviously our minds can't even comprehend it, but it's so nuts, man.
It has to be different because again, we're each here living our own individual experience. You see, our energy, our soul is living that experience for a reason, for growing. I mean, we're not going to change it, you know, totally. I'm not going to live on Mars and you're on Earth, but I'm certain that something in here changes, you know, and we can't understand it. But, you know, when you start realizing that it is a source of energy and all these different colors and all these lights and all these chakra colors and all this grid and this matrix and what's going on over there, how can it not be going on over here?
Mm.
Right? We're still the same energetic beings. How can it not?
Yeah.
We just can't see with the human eye because then it would freak everybody out. We'd never live.
yeah.
You know? But yeah. I'm certain something's happening here. I just can't see it, but I could feel it. I mean, if we walk into a certain area, a certain room, you just feel the energy of that room. You feel things that are different. That's why it's so important to be aware of the feelings around you, of spirit, of energies, of whatever. That's our map. That's our guide. Like my cousin said, that's your ticket, you know? And that I believe is really, really important to navigate through Earth and our life and understand better. Because a lot of times you'll understand, you'll feel somebody before they open their mouth. You could feel, and that's where all the psychics come into play. You know, psychic work, I'm working on your energetic field and your auric field. You see, the extension of your soul, the way I say it. So every single part of your life, from birth to your old, anything traumatic, either positive or negative, gets like a little imprint on your auric field. So now why? Two reasons. When you die and your soul goes back, those little imprints on your energy, your auric field, your essence, is your memory there. Yeah. Those little tiny, you know, imprints. And also that's where your lessons are, the most deepest lessons for you. A psychic reads your auric field. So we just kind of tune into your energy, and I could pinpoint at 7 years old you had this happening and something to do with a relationship or love or a loss. I could sense it. I feel what's imprinted around your auric field. So everything is feeling if you think about it. That's why if somebody walks into the room, you can just sense them like, oh, dude, I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
He never said a word to you. You know, or you can be across the hall and somebody turns the hall and you feel this amazing energy. You turn around, like, who's this guy? What's going on? Yeah. You know, it's your energy. It's because that's how we connect there. You know, a lot of telepathic going on, telepathic messages and a lot of energetic feelings and emotions. That's how we connect over there.
Yeah. What do you think about we've probably got about 5 minutes left before we start wrapping up.
Okay.
But so animals, right? So like we mentioned dogs earlier, and I'm looking at my dog right now, and I'm pretty sure that motherfucker knows what I'm talking about sometimes. I look at that guy and he just gives me the eye and I'm like, you know what I'm talking about. But are they in our boat with like the spirits and stuff like that? They are.
So animals is different. Animals have a soul. Animals also come in through a lot of evidential readings. You definitely have heard people bring in an animal. They're just kind of coming in. Their essence is coming through again. What's questionable, I'm hearing this a couple of times already, I heard it lately, is that the animals don't have their own particular spirit team. But they latch on to everybody's spirits. That's why, like, if I'm going to do trance or I'm doing evidential, my animals come near me and they're looking around. They see the spirits. They're with the spirits. So because spirits are so loving, all the spirits of people, spirit teams or whatever, they're all taking care of those animals here on Earth. We're taking care of them physically, but they're taking care of them on a spiritual level, like just, you know, loving them and that's why they take them with them to the spirit realm.
So sweet. I love that.
Yeah, and if you really do, I mean, I love that cats, dogs. When I go into trance and I put my dogs outside, as soon as my spirit guide speaks through me, my dog is barking at the door, like talking to the spirit.
Oh, really? Snap. Oh,
yeah. Wow. I cannot even do trance with my cat around because that cat's going to just be on my shoulder just for the whole time because they feel the essence of that spirit. Mm. And they want to be in the essence of the spirit. You know, it's really amazing to watch it. Really, same with babies, though. Same with babies. Mm. And if you're holding a baby, watch the baby's eyes. Whenever I hold the baby, they're looking to my left and my right with this fascinating expression. They're in awe, like, oh my God, look at these spirits, you know? It's amazing. Yeah. If only we could do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? That's interesting as well about the animals, because I've got two pet rats, right?
Yeah.
And I know people don't like rats. Rats they're amazing, right? One of them is, as you would imagine a rat to be, is pure, like, not feral, but it's just like skittish. It's scared of everything. It runs into its little burrow. The other one, I shit you not, he will jump on my foot, look up at me. I'll pick him up. He'll climb up me onto my shoulder, give me a little kiss in my mouth, which most people think is gross. And then he just lives like a, he's not scared of the cat. He's not scared of anything. And you have this dichotomy between him and the other one. I sometimes do wonder if he's more spiritually attuned than the other ones. And that's why, I don't know, man. It's interesting.
Again, the energetic, you know, the vibrational frequency is all different. We're all different. So one is maybe a little bit more tweaked that they can understand it and connect more to that energy. The other one is a little bit dimmer, but still connects. You know, you never know how that is.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. Nico, man, this has been so phenomenal. I'm definitely going to have you back on at some point, man. This has been absolutely brilliant, man. I loved every second of it.
So did I. It was a pleasure. Anytime you want. I thank you for the opportunity. Man. I really do. Yeah.
Mate, I loved it. Just before we go, just let people know that are listening where they can find you and, you know, follow up with your stuff.
I try to keep it simple. It's Nico the Medium, N-I-K-O, Nico. So the website is nicothemedium.com. Instagram is Nico the Medium, and Facebook is first name Nico, last name Medium. No the, Nico Medium. So it's all Nico the Medium. So easy to remember.
Yeah. Oh man. Thank you again for coming on. I've loved it. And have a good evening or morning, wherever you are. I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah. I'm going to text you. I'm looking forward to doing that one-to-one session for you.
Oh, mate, I cannot wait for that. Me neither. Frozen, mate. All right. Have a good night, care. Man.
Thanks again. Bye, mate. Take care.
Oh, really, dude? Oh, there's a ring of pedophilia that the top producers know about and confide in each other in and keep kids and pass them around and fuck them? Oh, really, dude? This is how you know life rips.
Hey, no dance, bitch, you know the deal. Tap my name on your wrist so I know it's real. Over 20, that's just no appeal. Beat the box young like I'm Holyfield. I feel like a predator, a predator, a predator. Fuck the money and the fame, I'm a predator, a predator, a predator. What's my motherfucking name? I ain't playing with you bitches. I got a family, I ain't staying with you bitches. Fuck that, ain't no code, but I've been praying on you bitches. Pull up with daddy's milk and spread on you bitches. Bet my wife don't know the difference. What's your Snapchat? And what's your OnlyFans? Oh, you only 16, what's your Instagram? Baby, where your bottle at? I hope you like
The Raptilian, Tom Thompson. I'm gonna do something a little different. Are the same, all you do is bitch complain, miserable and clinically insane, typical of individuals that are sick in the brain, running on a political campaign of ridiculous hypocritical claims, predictable that you never had an original thought in your brain. You're the pinnacle of a bitch of a man. When you bitch, you'd rather sit than stand. You want a basic income so you can't lift a hand and work a hard day in your life. No space for hate, but there was rapists hiding in your parade. Of pride. Yep. You think everything is racist and you're white, and you've never had a black friend in your life, but you'll watch a black man fuck your wife as you get a lap dance by a trans man, and you nut it twice. Say it. Louder. I can't hear you. silver spoons duck deep in your ass. Didn't you sleep with a preteen in your past? You're a creep, a weakling that can't answer a single question that you're asked. I've never heard you say one true statement. Canadians are complacent, so you force them to get vaccinated. So fuck you, you black-faced vagrant. You only got selected for your last name, faggot. We all know who your daddy is. Look how mad he gets. You're a privileged bitch because your daddy was rich and your mother was a whore. She was getting fucked by the Rolling Stones in the back door when they're on tour. Sacrifice your brother for a ritualistic murder. I guess we all have to pay the price, you sadistic pervert. To mass up their babies. You should be fucking embarrassed. But the sad fact is you've been gassed and they think I'm crazy. But yeah, you trust Big Pharma lady. How much more harm do they need to do to you to make money before you question that science and say something? Oh, I forgot, you're a complacent sheep. Cowardice, faithless and weak. Censoring the truth, labeling is hate speech. The lies you pretend to be true, but you can't face me or debate these claims you say to be factual. But yet I'm the asshole for saying fuck the government. How much more suffering do you need to endure to realize that people uniting is the cure to all our problems?